All right, good evening, everyone. Welcome back to Stronghold Baptist Church. If you can grab your hymnals and open up to Psalm 323. Psalm 323, more about Jesus. Psalm 323. Service today give you glory, that the singing and the preaching give you glory, that you fill Pastor Burgess with your spirit when he comes up to preach. Lord, we love you. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right, let's turn to our next song. Psalm number 325. Psalm 325, trust and obey. Psalm 325.
We do His good will. He abides.
Church. At this time, we're going to go through our announcements. Once again, if you don't have a bulletin, just slip your hand up real high. We'll make sure that we get one out to you. And if you'd open up to the first page, you'll see the service times. Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday evening again at 5 p.m. Wednesday night, 7 is our Bible study. We will be in Hebrews chapter 9 this week. We've got the soul winning opportunities listed there, as well as the salvations and the baptisms for the month of October. Let's go ahead and count up for today. If you went out soul winning today and had any salvations, I know some of you did, just slip your hand up real quick. We'll get those counted. One there, one there, one there. Two over here. One back there. Amen. Was that at that? At the nice. Awesome. At the ministry. That's cool. Amen. Very good. And then is there anything I missed from outside of today, earlier in the week, anything at all that I didn't get counted up already? All right, very good. Keep up the good work. Preach the gospel. Remember, we are in the month of October, and the soul winning challenge, the challenge this month for the month of October is to add an extra hour. So if you normally would go soul winning on Sundays in between services, try to add another hour to your schedule during the week. If you missed last week, you missed the challenge, try to challenge yourself this week and then the following week for the rest of October. Just stay with it. Try to get it done. Go with the spirit of these challenges and do what you can do. So we got the offering totals down there at the bottom of the page for the month of October. Prayer requests, I mentioned this morning. We have good news. Good reason to add people to prayer lists is when we find out about pregnancies. So we like to pray for little babies that are being formed and fashioned in the womb. It's very exciting news. So pray that everything goes well there. And then, of course, continue to pray for everyone else who is still on our list, that they will all get well, that God will heal, that God's will be done in all of these areas. And please bring these home with you. Take a picture with your phone. Do something so that you can remember to be in prayer for everybody that needs prayer. On the next page, I already went over the October challenge. All right, Bible memory passage. We are learning Hebrews chapter 5 now, so we got 8 weeks total to get this whole chapter memorized. And I'm going to try to square up a little bit with some prizes. Now, I have my nice, awesome sheet here, the Bible memory log that was created for me. The only problem comes in when I don't use the tools that are given me, and I don't keep them up to date. So I have on here that Hebrews 3, verses 1 through 6, prize given, yes. Hebrews 3, verses 7 through 13, prize given, yes. But then that last section of Hebrews 3, prize given, I don't know. Was there a prize given? There was not a prize given for the last section of Hebrews chapter 3. Is that correct? I'm getting people saying no, it wasn't given. And I'm assuming it's people who actually memorized it saying, no, you didn't give this out because you would know the best, right? People who didn't are just like, I don't know. Maybe you did, maybe you didn't. Who knows? I didn't memorize it. So how many people are in the room tonight that completed that last section of Hebrews chapter 3? One, two, three. Four. All right, come on up. You are getting an undisclosed amount of a Brewster's gift card because I don't remember what these are anymore. You could be getting a really awesome prize for not very much memory, potentially. There you go. Good job. Good job. Good job. Good job. Do you need more than one?
Oh, I've got one.
She got one too. Okay. There you go. Good. Good job. All right. Now, if you memorize the entire chapter, I think I was given, I don't know what I was thinking. I'm giving prizes arrayed left and right here, it seems, when I actually get them. I'm giving prizes for the entire chapter of Hebrews 3 also, right? So if you put all of them together, yes, sir. Did you do that? Well, come on up then. If you memorize all of Hebrews chapter 3, you get the Battery Daddy. Congratulations, you get the Battery Daddy. Or, this has been a prize for a long time, it's a hammock. So if you prefer a hammock, you can get a hammock. Otherwise, get that Battery Daddy. Hebrews chapter 3. Good job. Good job.
My wife also did this.
There are two battery daddies. You got a battery mommy and a battery daddy, or what? You can get the hammock. Do you want to return one for the hammock? She's like, get the chocolate. Wait, the chocolate's for Hebrews 4. All right. That went well, I think. And it seems like everyone's here because I had 7 people that I counted for Hebrews chapter 3, and there were 7. I had an extra one just in case. 7 people got prayers. Now, Hebrews chapter 4, if you completed Hebrews chapter 4, come on up. If you prefer the battery daddy to the chocolate, you can help yourself to the battery daddy. But you could have your choice of anything on this table. But I think I know what everybody's going to want to choose. That was one of our most popular prizes last year. Oh, and a surprise move. The hammock is gone. Awesome. That was a shocker. These things are so good. I don't know how anyone could pass that up. All right. It's a problem. Good willpower. All right. We're saying yes now. Yes. And I think I'm caught up. All right. Until Hebrews 5. Or this. Now, we didn't, just to be clear, I was not giving prizes for the church attendance challenge. Okay. Not every single challenge we do has a prize. Many of them do. Most of them probably do. But we did not give one for the church attendance challenge, in case you were wondering. You're going, hey, Pastor Bersons, I completed that. Where's my prize? There you go. I just gave you your prize. Good job. Good job coming to church. Good job not forsaking the assembly. No, I was kidding. All right. And there's a little preview for Hebrews chapter 5. No. If we still have those available for the for that gingerbread house making, maybe we'll have some chocolates then too. But all right, so I think I'm caught up. Obviously, people who aren't here, if there's anyone that completed this, will have these prizes available still going in the future. But now we're on Hebrews chapter 5. So memorize this. Get this chapter down. You might get something lame like a battery daddy, or you might get something really nice like chocolate. You know, you never know. You never know what you're going to get. All right? So I'm not saying all the prizes are great, but you will get a prize. Sometimes they're really good. And I think I'm going to do a grand prize next year for anyone who says, if you complete every challenge and every Bible memory for the whole year, I will give, we'll come up with a nice prize for that. You might earn yourself a spot to like Red Hot or something like that. Keep that in mind. That's a lot. That's a lot, I'll tell you right now. Because I try to do absolutely everything that I put in this bulletin, but I don't always make the mark every single time with everyone. I'll just be honest with you. Okay, I don't always do it. I do a lot of it. The vast majority of it, but not all of it. So I will, it's not easy. But that's a good goal to strive for. And you know what? I'm open to some ideas too, to try to incentivize all ages and kind of people, right? People who look, thinking if you want some type of motivation to get going on that challenge for next year, on all the challenges to get that keep your eye on that prize, right? For the high calling. Then let me know. I'm open to ideas. All right, upcoming events. Mountain Baptist Church Camp this week, October 13th through the 15th in West Virginia. I haven't heard it from anyone in this church. I don't think anyone else is going, but I'm going to be there. It's going to be a lot of fun. You guys can hang out here in Georgia. We're going to go camp in the mountains. It's going to be great. I don't know if they're going to be doing live stream or anything, but I am going to be preaching up there either Thursday or Friday. I think it's scheduled for Thursday right now, but subject to change depending on all things going on out there. So we're going to do some skeet shooting, I hear. Have some fun. So I'll let you know how it was when I get back on Sunday. Homeschool field trip, October 21st. And then the 22nd, we're planning. So it was a day of construction. We're also celebrating my daughter's birthday. No one has to feel obligated at all to give anything or do anything for my daughter's birthday. Her friends are here at church. It makes sense for us to have a time and a place that's not quite as far maybe as our house for her friends to be able to come together, and also provides in our schedule a time to be able to get work done here as well as be able to celebrate her birthday. So we're renting out a bounce house for the kids to play in. We are, since we're, my family's renting it, you know, it's not the church doing this, we're doing this. It is going to be designed mostly for the little ones. It'll be capable of handling older kids, but it is intended for the little ones. So if there's a time when the little ones aren't using it and the older kids want to use it, that's okay. But that's going to be the, just so everyone understands, it's geared for the little kids to celebrate a three-year-old's birthday party, you know. And everyone is welcome to attend that, you know. Love to have the kids here to help celebrate your birthday. But we're also doing that construction day here as well. So this gives an opportunity to get a lot of things done here. I don't have a sign-up list yet or you know, the list of all the items that I want to get done or that need to get done. I will have that very soon. There's going to be lots of things to do. We have equipment already. But I will get that list together ASAP so you can at least see it and know the type of work that we're looking to get done. If you want to volunteer, we'd love to have you volunteer. And that's going to generally just kind of be going on all day. And if you're here working through any type of meal, you know, church will provide food for you when, you know, if you come and devote your time to help, we'll take care of you, drinks and food, stuff like that. So we're going to be doing, you know, whatever type of painting we could get done and wall repair in different areas and ceiling tiles and lights and all kinds of stuff. So there's lots of things to do as far as getting more work done here on the building project. October 31st is a chili cook-off, starts at 6. November 12th is a soul winning marathon in Columbia, South Carolina. Remind me, somebody, who wants to help me make a video right after church tonight? You want to help me make a video? Austin, all right. See me right after church so I don't forget, okay? You're my reminder, you're my brains. You're the brains of the operation here, so you need to let me know that I can't forget to do this so that we could get as many people involved with this soul winning marathon as possible. Hopefully it'll be as big of a success as Alabama was, so thank you. And then November 18th, we got another homeschool field trip. It's a Friday. December 10th, Gingerbread House, Christmas caroling, Christmas service is going to be a little early. We got the potluck. And December 31st, New Year's Eve fellowship. All of these events, I think, for the most part, have a sign-up sheet. If you haven't done so already, please sign up for the events that you plan on coming to help us plan, to help us prepare. I think it's out on that table still. We've got that metal lock box thing, the clipboard. So everything's in there. Anything you plan on attending, please let us know so that we can have as much stuff prepared in advance as possible. Upcoming birthdays and anniversaries are listed down there at the bottom of the page for the month of October. Whew. That's about it for announcements. And I'm going to turn the service back over to Brother Peter. Please lead us our next song.
All right, church, if you could open up your hymnals, it's song number 402. Song 402, Our Best. Song 402. On the verse, hear ye the master's call, give me thy best. church. While the offering plates are being passed around, if you could open up your Bibles, the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. That was the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. And as we do customary here at Stronghold Baptist Church, we're going to read the entire chapter. That's Brother Jesse, if he can please do that for us.
Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible reads, "And you have he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we are dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the age to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye, being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision of the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus ye were sometimes were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." Brother Chris Logan, if you would pray for us. Amen.
Amen.
All right, this evening I'm going to be preaching to you. I have the title of my sermon is "The Dangers of Modern Technology." Now, I want to just start off by saying I'm not against technology. I work in technology. I think it's great. But just like just about anything, there's good and there's bad, right? And there's technology itself is just, you think of it as a set of tools, right? Things that have become a lot easier for us to use and more efficient and things. But as with so many tools, you could use them for good, you could use them for evil. But with how technology has changed so much, this isn't just any technology like, let's just say, mass production of things, industrialization in different areas where your agriculture, you're able to produce more food or do things more. You know, it's not just on the labor side of things. The technology that we're talking about has an access to so much more information, right? And data. And when you think about things that will actually have a huge impact and influence on you in general, on your life, on the way that you think, on so many different levels. There's so much access and there's so much open these days with our modern technology, with our modern devices, with the internet, with computers, with all these different things. This is a new thing, and there's this new level of access in general from, you know, since the history of the world to have such easy access to so many different things all over the world so quickly that we need to be aware, fully aware, as just every single one of us individually need to have a good grasp on what this technology is all about. You cannot just ignore it. You can't just wish it away. I'm not an Amish person. I don't believe that we should just get rid of all technology and live with buggies and horses and all that stuff. You know, like there's nothing wrong with the technology itself, but you have to understand it. And look, this is going to be extremely critical. You need to understand it for yourself, and you definitely need to understand it for your children. Because the way technology is working, children are usually more on the cutting edge than the parents are of understanding and knowing what's out there and kind of getting into it and getting involved in all these different things that are available more so than parents are in general. And I'll tell you what, that these days with technology, that's extremely dangerous. I'm in a unique position just with my age because I grew up in a time that had, the time where there was no technology, but, you know, it was in the very early stages still where it was commonplace at home. So the personal computer, I grew up in a time when that became a thing to actually have a computer at home as opposed to just businesses using it for corporate use like in the 70s. Right, where in the 80s it kind of turned into people actually could have them at home and you didn't have to be super rich to have something like that, and you could have these personal gaming systems and stuff like that, and it was neat or cool, and you could understand at the time why a lot of the younger generation really loved this stuff, but the older generation, it didn't matter as much. You got these little, you know, who cares about Super Mario World or some of these other games, like from a parent's perspective on what the kids are doing, right? It was a lot more mundane. There wasn't as much to worry about and deal with, and the kids naturally gravitate to this stuff. It was really cool and fun. But things have changed quite a bit, okay? And parents nowadays cannot take the same approach that I think many parents probably did in previous generations when it comes to the technology. You need to understand now more than ever what is available to your children and to yourself, okay, for that matter. You know, we need to all take heed to what's available out there and what's out. So you don't want to just stumble into things and then fall into a snare either. Now, we started off in Ephesians chapter 2. Look at verse number 1. The Bible says, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." And I think this is just really interesting that the Bible references the prince of the power of the air. Prince of the power of the air. I mean, this is not talking about God either. It's talking about the spirit that works in the children of disobedience. So that would be the spirit of Antichrist. That's the spirit of Satan, right? That would be the spirit of the devil, who's also referred to, as, you know, the prince of this world, the prince of the power of the air. And you think about the technology these days, how much is wireless? How much goes through the air? The radio waves, the TV broadcasts, the internet, the Wi-Fi, all these signals. Now look, they aren't inherently evil themselves, right? The wavelengths of the transmissions that are going out, that there's nothing evil about that. You're harnessing and using naturally occurring things or being able to produce signals. That's not what's evil, but having that power in that realm, which I think is evident these days, of the power of the air, man, Satan really is controlling the content, by and large, in general, that's being mass-produced and transmitted over the airwaves. And we need to just be aware of that. You'd be like, oh, the pastor, I think that's just a coincidence. Really? I don't think that's a coincidence. I don't think for a second that's a coincidence. Why would it be called the prince of the power of the air? You could come up with some other reasons, but I think it's very evident these days with what's going on. We cannot be simple concerning the ways of Satan. We need to understand what his tactics are, what he's going to do, so we could be well defended against those attacks. Now, turn, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And we're not going to be extremely Bible intensive tonight. I mean, we're definitely geared, like everything's coming from the scripture as far as the principles and everything. But I do want to just kind of expose and just dig into the modern technology that's out there and just maybe if I can help, if not be able to help bring you up to speed to where you might need to be, especially as a parent, and I'm really kind of focusing on the parents today, be able to light a fire under you to get to where you need to be as a parent, okay? Because this you cannot ignore this. This is, I don't know how to really properly express how vital and important this is with understanding the technology and being able to keep your children protected and safe from all of the evil that is out in the world to corrupt the innocence of your children's minds. And I'm not just talking to parents of teenagers. I'm talking to parents of, where the baby's still in the womb, just as much as parents that have teenagers. Because it's targeted and it started as early as possible with the technology. It is geared for the smallest of children. And we need to be aware and be very, very careful with what you allow to get in front of and get in the hands of your young, impressionable minds that you are responsible for rearing and raising to be godly people in this sick, perverted world that we live in. It's your responsibility. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the Bible warns us a lot about sin, so we don't get into the same traps. Look at verse number 11, because ultimately, here's the thing. We have modern technology, but sin is still sin. People, human beings haven't changed. Sinful nature hasn't changed. All the same sins are out there. So that's good for us. I mean, yes, you need to understand the technology, but at the same time, hey, we know what sinful nature is like. That hasn't changed. That is timeless. So we still are going to need to be able to combat and just stand on guard against the sinful flesh. Right? But how are we presented with that? That's where the technology comes in. Look at verse number 11. The Bible says, "Now all these things happened unto them for in samples, and they are written for our admonition." And we'll get into those in samples in just a second. We're going to go back up and get this in more context. It says, "Upon whom the ends of the world are come, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it." Now, a lot of things unpack here real quickly, but the Bible says, first of all, we always need to be on guard. And when you think you're standing, take heed lest you fall. Okay, always be on guard. And you think you got all your bases covered, you think you got everything covered as a parent, you know what, take heed lest you fall. Kids can be pretty smart in their abilities to bypass what you think you have got everything covered and you've got everything all set up and everything's all good. No, not always. And look, I know this, and you gotta always be looking back and making sure that you're getting all your bases covered. Things are changing regularly, especially in the realm of technology. You need to stay up on things and be aware of what's going on, because I'm telling you, we're going to get into this in just a little bit, but it's so important. I cannot express it enough. We need to take heed lest we fall. And then the Bible tells us, you know, hey, there's no temptation which is common to man. Everyone's gone through this, which is why he gave us all the examples in the Old Testament. We could learn from all of those examples of people who have already fell into various lusts and problems, and were overtaken with these problems, and they were judged because of those problems. But we need to look at that. We need to learn from them. We need to learn from the experience of others, not just from the experience of ourselves, but be able to see what happened and take away from that and apply it in our own life, okay? And as we go back up and look at these examples, notice there's a lot of destruction, okay? It doesn't end well with all these various things. People are dying over and over again from these various sins collectively as a group that the children of Israel were getting involved with, okay? Look at verse number 6. The Bible says, now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. And when it comes to the things of the internet, when it comes to the modern technology, lust is going to be one of the key driving factors of things you need to be aware of and not allow into your mind, into your house, in front of your eyes. There is a lot involved with that. But let's keep reading here. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day, 3,000 and 20,000. 23,000 people died from fornication. If you're here for my sermon this morning, okay, let that sink in about the strange woman. Fornication, 23,000 people died because God was angry that they went in and went unto strange women and commit fornication. That's how God feels about it. It's a big deal. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. So there's more destruction. More people died as a result of their sin. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. These are all examples. These are all things that were done for our examples to not do the same things, right? Not to be complainers, not to be murmuring, not to be tempting Christ, not to be idolaters, not to fornicate, and not to lust after evil things. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And what I'm going to be speaking about this evening with technology primarily is the World Wide Web and all the things available on the World Wide Web, which are going to provide to you all the things of the world. Now, are there some good things out there in the world? Sure there are. Stronghold Baptist Church is out there, right? You could find strongholdbaptist.church, www.strongholdbaptist.church. You could find that website out on the World Wide Web. There are plenty of good resources out there. There's plenty of things you can learn. There's plenty of just information and facts and just good education and good things that you could learn and use that tool for, and it could be awesome and amazing for you. You could learn how to do things you didn't know how to do before. You could go and watch videos about how to fix things and do different things all on your own. Great access to all. Look, I'm not against the technology itself. But along with all of those good things comes a lot of other things. Comes a lot of the lusts of the world freely available, just as freely as everything else that's good is available at your fingertips. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And it's interesting to me how much in some of the most popular areas of the internet, those three pop up. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. Now, let's go over some various technologies that exist, some a little bit older, some a little bit newer. Okay, and how they might apply to your life and how you need to get control over all of them. We'll start with the television set. Okay, old technology, television. For as far as most of us are concerned, old technology has been around for decades, right? But the media that comes in on that screen that you see can be very influential on your life, on your thinking, on your thought process. Look, there is so much that you need to just be aware of as far as how impactful what you watch can be. There's so much research into this, and I didn't prepare everything to be laid out in like a scientific manner, but it could have been. And I wish I had, now that I'm standing up here, I kind of wish I had gotten a little bit more prepared on being able to present some of the information, because there's a way that when the media is controlled, and this boils down to propaganda and the way people just want you to be able to think about things. Even if you're watching something that you think is mundane or not shouldn't be a problem, like the news, it can still shape the way that you think. And here's what I mean by that. Whatever is being presented to you as news already has bias because someone thinks it's worthy of putting out there in the news. And then when a bunch of people start talking about it, the way that we're designed, we're going to pay attention to that. And now everybody can be steered to kind of thinking about the same thing. And when you have these great national media organizations where everyone across an entire country now can be focused on one thing at hand, well, in the world, there's a lot of things going on, right? So there's a lot of manipulation, and even behind things that can be moral issues. Right? I mean, you've got elections going on and different politicians and people saying different platforms or different legislation coming up. Hey, should we do this or do that? The information that's decided to go out, because a lot of people don't really think that much for themselves. They'll just listen to, oh, okay, well, I'm going to listen to what this person has to say. I'm going to listen to what this person has to say and come up to my own conclusion. But when that's controlled, when you're only hearing two specific points that are already controlled on what they're going to allow you to hear, you're not necessarily even hearing the right things. And you could think, well, I heard both sides of it, but maybe there's more to it than that, right? And you get people so focused on, and I'm trying to think of a really good example right now where everyone just talks about, yeah, but what about, the gay marriage thing, right? That's a perfect example. People are talking about, yeah, but I mean, how would you even know? You know, like, should if they just, you know, who cares if they get married to one another and all this other, you know, it's just like, they're trying to get you focused on this one subject, but it's like, hold on a minute, here. This whole debate about whether or not, well, but the sanctity of marriage, and this is what the historical definition, you know, look, we don't need to go that far. How about we just look at what the Bible says about sodomy? There you go. How about we talk about that? Instead of worrying about, well, can they get married? And if they get married, can they adopt children? And if they do, you know, it's like, well, hold on a second. You're going way too far down the chain there, buddy. Let's back this up to where it really matters. Yep. Here's the truth about that. But you don't hear that. So all of that said, to show how you need to have some knowledge and wisdom, which you're going to get from Scripture as your primary source on anything, first of all. Anything that's going on, anything that you see. I'm not saying watching the news is bad, so don't take it that way. We need to be smart and educated and knowledgeable, though, first of all, about the world that we live in and what is out there and the ability of this different technology to influence. And for those of you, I don't know if everyone saw the documentary we put out, The Censored War on Free Speech. There's a segment in there where I talk about how it's already been discovered, how social media platforms like Facebook was able to manipulate people's emotions, and they would track this and show different types of stories and different things in news feeds and gauge a response on then their activity afterwards, to see if they can actually influence what a person would do based on what they see. There's lots of studies out there about that, and I'll tell you what, we are social creatures, and there is such a thing as social engineering where you can be prompted or pushed to do things that you might not normally do, all things being equal. There are factors, there are things, there are images you can see, there are things you can hear that can push you towards one direction. Now, it doesn't just mean, oh, I'm just going to become a robot. I'm going to be brainwashed into just doing every, you know, that's not what I'm saying. But you can definitely be steered in different directions based on the information that you receive. And how it's presented and everything is all very important. And just understand there are evil people at work that don't care about you. There are evil people that they have a love of money, and that's what their driving, motivating factor is, and they don't care about people at all. They just love money. And they see you as merchandise. And the Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil. So be aware of that. Now, getting back into the TV, cable, now it's mostly streaming, right? I don't know if anybody has cable TV anymore. Maybe you do, whatever. But that was a big thing, you know, controlling what comes into your household. Well, it is all programming. By the way, everything that you watch is fake. Even, you know, ironically enough, even reality TV, of all things, is probably some of the most fake stuff that's out there, is the stuff that's so-called reality. It's fake. It's fake. Just about everything that you see is phony. It's fake. It's recorded on camera. There's certain things that they know is going to get people to watch, get people interested, get people, you know, and it's edited and shot a certain way. Everything is. So being aware of that, first of all, is kind of the first step. But second of all, you know, you have to decide then as a parent or, you know, as whoever's in charge of your house, what is you going to allow into your house? Because there's a lot of agendas being pushed out there by a lot of different types of people. And I'll tell you this much, when it comes to your children, you better know what you're allowing in your house. And I'll tell you what, that is not easy. As a parent, depending on how open you are with what comes into your house, I recommend being very strict, having a policy of nothing unless it's approved. Don't say, I'm not allowing anything in. The only thing that's allowed in is what I'm approving, giving access to, instead of, as opposed to, everything's approved, but unless I say you can't watch that, then, you know, to me, that's crazy. That's crazy because there is way more garbage out there than there's anything that might be seen as okay. Because the things that are being broadcast on the TV, they're not wholesome. Some of them are just more benign, maybe, than others, but that's the best you're going to get. It's not like you're getting all the great Bible teaching or anything like that on the TV. You just might have some things that aren't that bad. And at the end of the day, here's a mindset we need to have, I think, as Baptists. And I talk with people, you know, out in the world, on my job, things like that. And it's really interesting seeing, because everyone has, you know, parents have similar struggles. But you know, thank God if you're here and you're looking to the Bible as your source for raising your children. Because a lot of people don't at all, and they kind of just go the way of the world and whatever the world's doing. And, you know, I was talking to someone about their daughter who's like this young teenager and how, you know, she doesn't like all the technology stuff, but all of her friends have all this stuff, and, like, everybody has it, and everybody's doing it, so I didn't really want to feel like I can't let her have that, too. It's like, well, yes, you know, you should not let them, if what they're going to have is stuff that you don't approve of or something you don't even know what it is, yeah, you better not let them have it. Who cares if that's whatever, you know, but that might make them feel a little different. You know what? As Christians, you're already going to be a little bit different. And that is what it is, okay? And one of the best things you do for your children is to help them to understand that, to help them to get through that, be there for them. It's not always easy being different than the rest of the world, but explain and educate and teach and explain why these things, you're not going to have, you know, access to that, and even if they don't understand it, You're the parent. You're going to enforce it. And the reason why is because you love them. And because if you're trying to follow the word of God, how many times have you maybe not understood why there is a commandment in the Bible? Like, maybe when you were newly saved or if you didn't know very much. I know for me, I didn't understand a lot of things. But if I would have just hearkened to it instead of going, well, I don't understand that, so I'm just going to do my own thing anyways, it would have been a lot better just to listen to it anyways, right? And when we see these principles and what's out there, it's better if you don't say, well, I don't really know. I kind of see some things that are kind of weird, but I'm just going to let them have whatever device, whatever access to any of this content just because everyone else has it. Not a good idea. Not a good idea. Have control over that. There are people, I mean, we didn't get to where we are by accident when it comes to what sins are acceptable now versus what used to not be acceptable. Because people who want to promote such wickedness have gotten themselves into positions of media. And look, this has been going on for a long time. This has been long exposed. But just in case you haven't even heard, I mean, going back to the days of Disney, and we're talking about old days of Disney, the cartoonists and the people who would do the artwork were sodomites and would have, they would insert graphic imagery into their cartoons and they thought it was funny or whatever. But you know, I think the real motivation is just to subtly get in there and pervert the minds of the young as early as they can. And this has been, I mean, this is fact, okay? This stuff is out there. You could look it up and see it for yourself. All the various, I mean, and some of them I don't suggest seeing because it is that bad of stuff that's put into these films. And this is, who's behind it? I mean, go on and on and on. I'm not going to get into all the individual programs or whatever. But you need to be able to show some discernment on what is being presented in your home. And I don't care if it's designed for, let me put this, if it's designed for kids especially, pay close attention to that. Pay close attention to the subtleties that goes into the teachings behind what your children watch. I mean, there's already, even just from the, you know, the influence of the Mother Earth type stuff and all the recycling and the and look, there's nothing wrong with recycling, but it's the people who have the agenda, the climate change agenda and the love of Earth instead of having dominion over the Earth, right? That having the biblical perspective on things, exalting the creation more than the Creator. And having that type of mindset is dangerous and it's wrong and it'll influence your children as well. So you have to look at all the things that come in. Let's switch though to some other things that's a little bit newer technology, things that are available online, the videos, the YouTube, the social media, that type of stuff. You have to be aware that if you let your kids even get into this, or even yourself, you start getting into these realms of technology with the videos and YouTube, social media, there's a tendency to promote a self-centered mindset involved with the Facebook, with the likes, even with the content creation and the putting out videos. Oh, I need to see how many likes I'm going to get. I need people to like me and kind of have this mindset of caring a lot more about what other people think of you than even necessarily doing what's right. People get wrapped up in the whole online world and just wanting people to like them so much that it changes who they are. And there's also people that end up, if they start getting attention online, can get conceited and arrogant really quickly because they start to feel extremely important and really famous and I have all these followers and all these people. Look, that's dangerous, and it's even more dangerous for people who are young. You don't want your teenagers trying to navigate life and just figure out they've got a lot of things going on, a lot of changes, trying to deal with then what can seem like a lot of pressure from thousands of people that they've never met before online that are all commenting and liking and posting and telling them all this stuff. It's best for them not to have access to that. There's a lot. I mean, adults have a hard time with that, let alone the kids. Now, as social creatures, God designed us a certain way to actually care about what other people are going to say about you, what other people think about you. And that's not always a bad thing, right? But we need to, again, keep that in check and keep that in line. We ought to care about what God thinks more than what man thinks. But being designed as we were by God as a social creature, as someone who kind of looks to what other people do, when it's very helpful, for example, in a godly society, right, when people are going to follow God's laws and God's words and enable these types of laws and this way of thinking, then you can have certain behaviors looked down upon collectively, right? Like, well, yeah, this is rejected. This is gross. This is disgusting. This is abominable. This is an abomination. And we have a whole group of people that think that way. That's going to influence other people as well when it's looked down upon just collectively as the group. The way that we are, people will be steered away from that in general. That is the helpful side of being these social creatures that kind of care what other people think. Oh, man, I don't want to do that because then people might think I'm, you know, committing these abominations. Because you care about, you know, you don't want to be seen in that negative light. So that's not necessarily a bad thing. But what needs to be at the top of all of that is God's word. And when that's not at the top, then you're going to be more susceptible to falling into the world's philosophies and the world's mindset on things, and then caring what other people think instead of caring about what God thinks. And you got to watch out for that manipulation. But it's a preventative thing to be social like that. The more public or open to scrutiny something is that's objectionable, the less likely people will be to do it. Right? It makes sense. And historically, that's been very helpful when it comes to sinful activities that have been looked down upon. When it comes to things like fornication, I mean, we read about this morning, I went over Proverbs 7, where, hey, I saw through the casement of my window this guy going this way and this woman come approaching him on the street. You know, like that's out in public view. You can see that, and people can oh, man, yeah, that's not, and make decisions. Well, I don't want to be seen with some woman like that. I don't want to be seen. But the problem with the technology now is you don't necessarily have to be seen by anybody. And that is a big deal, because when there are these social factors in place that, man, I would never be caught dead in, you know, I'll think about it this way. Okay, going back to my childhood, they would have the like the Blockbuster, right? Go rent a movie, whatever, bring it home, watch it. But what you're looking at is open in front of everyone. But then there's a section of like the smut, right? The abominable stuff that no one should ever be putting their eyes on. And if you wanted to go look at that, well, you know what? You kind of had to go to a place that would have that stuff and risk being seen by someone. Right? That was something you had to deal with, because that was the only way you can do that. And that's even going to get something, you know, back home with it, with more technology. Prior to that, it was even, you know, harder in a sense to get to abominable, filthy things without getting caught. But the technology has brought in an element of anonymity, an element of being sneaky, an element of not being able to be caught as easily, and giving access to the flesh, to the lust of the flesh, to do things that, you know, hey, everybody has a fleshly desire, but there's a lot of things can be kept in check pretty easily with your social norms of going, yeah, no, I'm not going to, I mean, there's no way I'm even going to think about going down that path because, no way. I don't even, my curiosity is not even close to the level of trying to breach the overcoming of, man, well, what if someone actually saw me, you know, get in that? But when there's the element of, like, getting caught just becomes almost nothing, that curiosity of the flesh rises tremendously. And even more so in curious younger people. The content that's available, you are the safeguard for your children. You have to be. Because everything is out there. Everything is out there. And the problem is that once you see something, you can't unsee what you see. There's no taking it back. And when especially in a child's mind, anyone's mind for that matter, but when, you know, once something's defiled, it's defiled. Right? Once the image goes in, once the audio, once that content is there, You don't just scrub that clean. I mean, it's going to be there, and it's going to plague and be a burden. So the best thing you can do is prevent it from happening to begin with. Turn, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 27. Children need to maintain as much innocence as possible as they grow. I mean, eventually they're going to learn about different things at age-appropriate levels, and you control that as the parent of when they need to know about certain things. But when you open up access to all this information, all the information of the world, good, bad, ugly, I mean, just everything that's out there, you no longer control when they're going to start to learn the things that they learn. And it's just the Wild West. Now, the good thing is about technology, if you understand it, there are ways of preventing and restricting access to what comes into your house. There are ways of doing that. There are ways to, and now are there ways to circumvent? Yes, there are. Okay, so I'm never be foolish enough to think that, like, I've done, unless you can, I mean, well, I guess you make your house a prison, right? In a sense. But even prisons, there's always contraband, right? So at the end of the day, you want to be teaching your children the right way, the right path, make good choices, but you still need to be smart enough to be able to control what's coming into your house, okay, and do your best. Obviously, if you have a kid that's just bent on trying to get around everything that you do, that's another problem. But there are ways of controlling, you know, for example, the internet that comes into your house, that very first device that it comes into, you can put blocks on the content. There's content filters. There's ways of preventing things from even giving access to anybody in the house, anyone that gets on the Wi-Fi, or anything at all, from being able to get to different types of content. And there's what you could even just make it where I would suggest just having a loud list. Block everything and only allow particular content, and that's all you get. That's one way. I mean, and look, all these things are out there. There's other software that's available to be purchased or whatever to help track these things. There's also, you know, if you don't want to just block everything, you can track it. So that, hey, you might be able to access something, but guess what? I'm going to see it. Whatever you do, I'm going to see. That alone is usually very helpful preventatively. Remember I was talking about, that's what prevents a lot of people from doing things that they wouldn't normally do anyways, just because you don't want to be seen doing that. I would never do that because I don't even want to be seen. Even be associated with that. And if people know, hey, whatever you do, whatever you get into, I'm going to see that. That's great. That's helping keeping people accountable, and I'm all for it. I think, and parents, if you don't know how to do that in your house, you need to learn. And if you don't, if you have trouble, you can come and ask me. I'll be able to help you with that. You got a pastor that knows technology, and I am happy to help in this area. Okay, I am. And look, we have some technology in my house. My kids use tablets for school. Now, none of them have mobile data. They can't circumvent anything, so they have to be on Wi-Fi, which is controlled by my house. I have content filters. I've got even more device filters on top of their content filter that comes into the house, restricting how much time they could spend doing what they do, and I can see everything that they do. And I set it up that way on purpose. Nobody has private communications and chats and text messages and anything else with anybody without me knowing what's going on in that house. You say, well, Pastor Berzins, you are insane. I say, you're insane if you don't do the same thing with your kids. That's what I think. Because, like I said, all it takes is for one bad actor to get in. I mean, and think about this. Maybe your child isn't going off into some bad things, but how about this? How aware are you? You know, even games these days are full of chat rooms. So many games are introducing more and more communication, more and more talking with other people playing the games, whether it be with headsets, audio, text, whatever, different ways of communicating. And hey, in general, is it, you know, is there a problem with a 12-year-old talking to another 12-year-old and playing some game and whatever? No, right? But who is that person? What are they going to say? And what happens when that person isn't a 12-year-old and it's some predator trying to stalk your child? And what happens when they send them a message or send them a picture or send them an image and you have no idea what's going on because you're allowing them to play the game that has this open access to just whoever online? And now they've been defiled and there's nothing you can do about it. And it's already gone in. And look, why am I dedicating a sermon to this? Because I've already spoken with people and I know people firsthand who've had their lives ruined and children practically destroyed because of this very thing. Because people have come in to an impressionable young child's life and caused them to practically kill themselves and attempt to kill themselves. Getting them to turn on God. Potentially even, you know, becoming reprobate. I don't know. Because of influences that come in that would never be allowed in that house, but not the proper steps are taken to monitor what's going on. The bad people are out there. Okay, I'm not some crazy kook, as much as you might think I am. I know I'm not, because I've dealt with it firsthand. By nature of my job, I talk to people, and I've had communication with people where I've heard the stories. I know the stories are real, and it's sad and it's heartbreaking. And you never, ever want to have that happen to your child. Now look, as with all parenting, the best parenting is the hardest. It's the most demanding. It requires the most of your attention. But you do not want to slip in this area. You don't. I recently was, because I'm not like up to speed on every newest thing that's out there, right? And when I hear about things, I like to know what's going on because I want to stay ahead of things. But one of the newer areas, and you guys know from even some of the games that we've played here, the virtual reality stuff, right? Hey, it's kind of cool. Like, I'm not against the game specifically or the technology, as I've stated many times. Not against that stuff. That stuff could be fun, okay? There's nothing, you know, inherently wrong with these things. But someone was telling me about, I don't know if it was, maybe you were telling me about the chat room, right? So I looked into that a lot more, because the chat rooms that I was familiar with are from like a long time ago, right? I mean, just like old school IRC chats, like this stuff was going on, and there's all these different chat things, and people were writing text and stuff. But now it's advanced so much, you've got literally people wearing the VR sets, and they're you know, you're kind of communicating with people and talking and hearing, and it's really set up like as if you're in an actual, you know, you're in a virtual room, but the voices can be, you know, the closer you are, the more you could hear, the farther away you are in this virtual area, the less you could hear. I mean, they really try to make it very realistic, right? But I started watching some videos that people have made about just what goes on, and man, there is all manner of weird things that goes on in these chat rooms. And if you just open up, again, there was one I saw where they were trying to, you know, they were playing some game, some kid was in there, some like 12-year-old boy, and there's adults in there, and they're drinking, the kid's saying how he's drank all, you know, whatever kind of booze or something at his parents' house, his parents weren't home, and then like these guys, there's like a guy defiling this child in the chat, and someone else like recorded this and posted whatever. I'm just like, this is horrible. Horrible. The stuff's out there, okay. And you need, maybe you've never were aware that stuff is. Look, it's out there. You need to understand what is going on, because sorry, it's horrible. Did I have you turn to Proverbs 27? One of the things that the internet offers and caters to is the lust of the eyes, right? There's a lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life. We talk about the pride of life with the social media type of thing. You got the lust of the flesh in many areas, and then the lust of the eyes primarily, the things that you feast your eyes on that people will gravitate to looking at. And again, things that you wouldn't normally look at where other people can see you, but when you're in the privacy of your own home or wherever, no one can see what you're doing, then you feel more open to let your eyes just indulge in that lust. And then the problem with that is that, like the Bible says here in Proverbs 27, verse 20, hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. And once you allow your eyes to start indulging in sinful lusts, sinful pleasures, they're never going to be satisfied. And this is where the addiction of the sin and the sinfulness of the eyes could come in, that flesh, the lust of the eyes. And more and more and more people are dealing with these addictions to explicit images that they shouldn't be looking at. The pornography that's out there. And this, I don't know how true the statistics are. I think it's probably, I would imagine it's still hard to get people to talk about things like that, because it's embarrassing. At least it should be embarrassing. It should be a shame. But some of the statistics I've seen are staggering how many people are impacted by that. I mean, it is a plague on our society, and it is a plague that is addictive. Because the more you're allowing your eyes to feast on lusts and things, the harder it's going to be, because your eyes are never going to be satisfied. You're going to be looking for more and more and more and more and more and more and more. And that path, that is a corruption that is going to have a massive influence on the way that you think, I was friends with someone a long time ago that had a real big problem in that area. And I kind of noticed it at the time. This is a super long time ago, right? But thinking back, the more I've thought back on it, just kind of in general, you could see the attitude towards women change the more time went by of looking at the things that you shouldn't be looking at. And it has an impact. It really impacts a lot about you, and then you get involved in this stuff, and then it's hard to overcome and get out of it and deal. Look, nobody should be getting into this, adult, child, anything, but parents, dead sure, make sure your children are not having access to this type of inappropriate, bad material. I don't know how to describe it. It should be self-evident, right? And take every precaution you can. Invest the time to make sure you know what you're allowing and what people have access to with whatever devices they have. Make sure you have a monitor on all of your digital traffic, on all of their digital traffic. And be aware, have the software installed too that they can't remove. So if they go on someone else's Wi-Fi or go on someone else's data plan or go on anything and they do a mobile hotspot or do any other ways of trying to transmit and receive data they shouldn't be looking at, have a way to check that. There is a way to check that. Like I said, I'm not getting super specific on buy this software, and getting that technical on it, but you can manage these things. This is part of my job. This is what I do at work. I have mobile device management software that I have at work where I'm responsible for monitoring other people's devices. I'm responsible for the content that is viewable in the business that I work for. I get paid for this for a living, so I know a lot about this. Please, I'll be happy to share my knowledge with you on protecting your household. Because the damage done from what is out, the most vile, filthy things in the entire world ever possibly imaginable are available at the click of a button, and you wouldn't even want that accidentally to come across your children's eyes, let alone for them looking for things and going down a path of curiosity that just leads deeper and darker to where all of a sudden you find them, you'll be like, wow. And as I mentioned before, everything will end up coming to light, especially with God's people. Look, you better know the things that you think you're doing in secret, they will be found out. They will. Okay, and that ought to be sobering enough. Every individual, anyone who thinks that you can just look at and get involved in whatever you want to do, be sure your sin will find you out. Amen is right. Amen. Thank you. I'm going to close on Luke 21. Things are just getting more and more perverted. You've got the TVs, the phones, the tablets, the computers, the internet, everything, just everything that's available being broadcast, freely available. Times are not getting better, they're getting worse. The days are getting darker, sin is abounding. But thank God, where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. We're sinful creatures. Raise your children right, teach them. But here's the thing: also, don't give them opportunity to sin either. Right? Teach them to make good choices. Teach them to recognize something that's wicked from something that's not wicked. Don't give in just because everybody else has this and I don't. I mean, one of the conversations I had, you know, thought like we're talking about cell phones or something. My daughter's not going to have a cell phone when she turns 13. Like, are you nuts? Yeah. It's not happening. Sorry, Liz. Not happening. But I think you already knew that. It's not going to happen. That is too much access for a young child to have. It's too much. Communication's modern. And look, if you do that, then they're going to grow up weird. Look, people have been growing up without this stuff for a really long time. Try unplugging a little bit. It actually will do you some good. Learn how to grow up without any devices. And I think all children need to have at least some of that. And I didn't even get into the young children and be careful. Look, even as adults, I know how addictive things can be and devices and everything else. You probably do too. I mean, if you have a phone, you probably understand stupid little games and other little things, whatever, even just videos, these things become very addictive. Even if they're not just super, you know, sinful or whatever in and of themselves. The devices are designed to draw you in. That's why when you go to a restaurant or anything else, if there's a TV screen, everybody's eyes go to the TV screens. Everybody's eyes do. You know, I'm always telling my kids, don't watch the TV, don't watch the TV, don't watch, you know, we go out to eat, don't watch the TV. But everybody's eyes are drawn to the TV screens. Why? There's something going on. It's animated, it's motion, there's things, you know, it catches your attention. It's going to do that. The devices do that too. They also impact your attention span. And when you start giving those devices to little kids, I'm talking about toddlers, you know, kids that can't even speak, you know, don't fall into the trap of, oh, well, my kid's screaming and crying, so I'm just going to throw a device at them so that they'll shut up. Wrong. Don't ever do that. And you know, I was gonna close the sermon, but this is way too important at this point to stop, because way too many people are doing that these days, and you're letting your child become the boss of you. You don't want to hear their crying, so you just give them a shut-up stick in the form of a device. And then anytime they want that, what are they going to do? They're going to throw a fit. They're going to throw a tantrum. No, that is not how you raise children. You don't just give them what they want when they throw a fit. They learn that behavior real quick. Real quick. You know what you deal with that? You don't give them the device. You give them what they need, which is a spanking. And let them understand, if you're going to try to throw a fit, that's what you're going to get. This is the response that you get from me. No, you're not in charge. And not only that, though, the devices. My concern is that you're going to be making it so much the more easy for them to get involved in the addictive nature of these devices when you start them off at a very young age. Because they're still developing and growing. And when you look at how the devices and things are designed, and they actually have an impact on your brain. And long-term use of those, there is an impact on how even you think when you start using those things and get into it a lot, let alone the child, the mind of a younger child who's still developing. There is an addictive nature to those things, man. I mean, anyone who could say that otherwise just is a fool. And again, I'm not saying all the tools are just evil in and of themselves, but you need to pay attention. And if you're going to have those tools in your house that have potential for great harm as well as great good, then make sure that you know what's going on with it and that you're managing it properly for your household. Luke 21, verse 33. About the end times, Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. All these things that we're talking about, the devices, the phones, the shows, the everything, all this media, it's a big distraction. By and large, it's just a big distraction anyways. Don't let yourself get carried away with all those cares of the world and everything that the world's doing and everything that's being put out and just, oh, I have to see the latest show of whatever it is that you're watching. And I don't care what it is that you're watching. You get so wrapped up in all those concerns of the world and everything else. You know what? You're getting distracted from the things that really matter. Seriously. And I don't even care if it's just the most tame thing out there, where you're just like, oh man, I got to see that. You know, no, you don't. No, you don't. If you feel like you have to do anything, you better just stop doing it for a minute, you know, other than righteous things, right? Something that you actually need. But you think like, oh, I have to watch this show, then you better stop for a little while at least. If you feel like you have to do it, because that's starting to sound like an addiction. The Bible says, for as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Hey, I want to be able to stand before the Son of Man, not being distracted with all the cares of this world, not giving into the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life, and also being able to be known as someone like Abraham was known, where God said, hey, I know Abraham, and I know he's going to lead his household after him, and he's going to lead him in the ways of the Lord, and that you can go down as someone who was able to raise your children. You know what? Maybe they are a little bit different than the rest of the world, but you know what? That should be a badge of honor. If they're going to grow up different in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, if you're different than the other Sodomites that are running around Sodom, right? If you're growing up in an area and you are where you are, we're in this Babylon, USA, and you got a bunch of Babylonians running around doing Babylonian things. Look, my children are going to be a little bit different than them. Yeah, so be it. Because hopefully they're going to be godly, light-bearing, word of God-bearing people to this dark world to help stay off the corruption and be able to think clearly and not just be influenced by everything the media tells them and be able to think for themselves and challenge what they're seeing instead of just accepting everything that comes in, which is what the mass media is training people to do, is just accept everything that you see and don't check anything for yourself. I mean, we're getting into the censorship era too. I mean, I could go on and on and on and on and on. The control of the information is what it's all about. I'm going to call it, look, for the love of your own children, know what they can see and have access to. The consequences of not knowing, I can't overstate. It really can be devastating for the rest of your life if you don't know what's coming in and what your kids might have access to, or who might have access to your kids. We had that incident in our church 1-2 years ago. With a little girl that was being groomed by an adult man that had access to that child through social media. Now, thankfully, Dad saw, because he had access to what was being said. Now, he didn't catch it immediately, but he caught it soon enough. Thank God. Thank God he caught that soon enough. But I would say this, don't let your little girls or little boys have access at all. And whatever they have access to, you monitor. It's real. I mean, it's as real as this church, people that you probably know. Bow our heads, have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for your word. Lord, I pray that you please help us to abide by biblical principles and be able to apply your truth and our responsibility with our children and everything else, dear Lord, and being able to take heed to all the various sins that are out there, dear Lord. Help us to be able to be on guard against them all, Lord, regardless of what form they take, and help us to be able to understand enough about the changing world around us to be able to stand firm on what's right and what's true. And dear Lord, I pray that you please watch over our families and help us to be protected from evil and give us the wisdom that we need to be able to deal with the onslaught of the lies and the perversions of people that would be out there trying to just defile minds, dear Lord. We love you, and we're here to serve you, dear Lord, the best we can. So in Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, we're going to sing one last song before we're dismissed. I'm going to ask Brother Peter to lead us in that last song.
All right, church, open up our hymnals. Song number 390. Song number 390. Have I done my best for Jesus? Psalm 309. On the first, I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus, who died upon the cruel tree, to think of his great sacrifice at Calvary. I know my Lord expects the best from me. Great singing. Thank you so much for coming. You guys are dismissed.